Well, that's kind of that's kind of the way that I read it too, and I think it's a good process. But mm-hmm. you know, there are a few folks.
Okay, that's just one. On section 1, line 6, page 1, it says as relates to an election. Material appears to print that relates to an election. And it influences, it's an election.
You know, you might even strengthen a little bit more and then take it, once they're elected, if they put something in print, and then when they go in, when they're elected to office, they don't do what they say they're going to do.
We don't.
You might really put that.
We might all be under in jail.
just a thought. Maybe they're going to say something, and we're going to hold their feet to fire, which I think is a good idea. Then they ought to do what they say when they are elected, right? They should.
You're right, Mr. Baker, representative.
Mr. Baker.
It's old days, right?
That's right. No worries. Tom's thinking.
I'm thinking of an example.
I am too.
Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two questions, Betty. What would happen if, as in the case of the resolution we're going to hear that I introduced a few days ago, the information contained in that resolution doesn't come from me, but it does come from heads of corporations or associations that have compiled statistics? What would happen, hypothetically, if those statistics were wrong? Would I be held accountable?
You wouldn't, but the person who did it, because it's known to be falsehood.
Okay, in course of them, but I'm the one that introduced the resolution.
You have to knowingly.
if you have to knowingly with forethought kind of thing. But it says knowingly. So you wouldn't be held liable for it.
Mr. Chairman, can I continue?
Representative Choquette,
a couple questions. I've got a problem. Full and open disclosure. This committee's well aware how I feel, you know. If you're going to run for office, everything you do should be a matter of record. Where you spend your money, who you get it from, including your integrity when it comes to telling people about yourself, such as resumes. And you and I both know what happened there. It was in our district, and it wasn't a neat thing. I think it took all legislators and put kind of a smear against all of us. I know... All of a sudden, I had calls from my college telling me that, by golly, there were some inquiries as to whether or not you actually went to school, let alone graduated. So I'm sure that the feedback there was pretty well spread out amongst all of us that were campaigning. Have you done any research to determine whether or not this information is required, or this type of a bill is actually taking place in other states?
Yes, and he asked him, I've got a lot of background material on other cases in the States. When we had three attorneys sit down, John and I forgot the woman's name that was involved.
Have you got any examples you could provide us with?
I think I could, yes. And I apologize, Mr. Chairman, I'm finding the original packet that might have been...
maybe I've got it here.
It's knowingly.
Oh, I see. Almost everybody's got something. Mm-hmm.
And we do have a statute, and again, it was cleaned up so that there's freedom of speech is certainly protected, slips of the tongue are protected. You have to knowingly prepare, you know, with forethought, with no effort behind it to falsify documents. For instance, having a master's degree instead of in college when a person didn't even
go. I would entertain a motion to have the committee substitute before us.
So moved.
It has been moved to have committee substitute for House Bill 40 before us. Any objections? There are no objections. Committee substitute is before us. It's a pleasure of the committee.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative,
I move that we pass this bill out of committee of individual recommendations.
Any objection? CS House Bill 40 pass off the individual recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're welcome. Next item before the committee is SCR-1 by Senator Fisher declaring June 16-21 Amateur Radio Week. Resolution carries a zero fiscal note. Is there anyone from Representative Fisher's office here? Excuse me. Senator Fisher's office.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, it's early. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm Sandy Nussbaum, staff for Senator Paul Fisher. I apologize, the senator isn't here, but he had a choice. He had a choice of coming down and testifying before your committee or answering the telephone, since we had two employees ill the day he chose to answer the telephone.
Well, that's not a...
We'll see how long it lasts.
He obviously knows he gets extremely fair and equal treatment in this committee, or else he would have been here himself.
Oh, absolutely.
Must not have been too worried.
No, but the phone's ringing off the hook as I walk down the hall, so like I say, it should be interesting before it's over. Very briefly, I think the resolution is self-explanatory. Senator Fisher feels very strongly about recognizing the contribution that amateur radio operators have offered to the state. I'd like to use my own situation as an example. Many years ago, I lived in Old Valdez, where we had no communication, and relied on ham and crystal sats for our communications. Most of the winter, we had no telephones up. In 1964, I went through the Alaska earthquake, lived in Turnagain, and it was the only way that my parents knew that my family was alive and the children were fine. Went through it again in 67 in Fairbanks during the flood. Again, all communications went down, and it was our only link to the outside. Many of the operators have contributed heavily during the holidays, sending messages to our servicemen, and they also were very instrumental during this last go-around in the Gulf. My understanding is that they were one of the major links as far as providing messages back and forth, where when the letters were stopped going over there, they had little boxes where they went and picked up these messages and sent. Got a hold of families, let them know that their kids were okay, et cetera. Again, I think it's self-explanatory. The field day activities are a very, very large event, not only in Alaska. We have about 400 operators on the peninsula, and they hold the field day activities with the one stateside, again, checking all their equipment and checking to see that everything's up and running. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Questions to the committee. Representative Shokat.
Has anybody got page 10? I go from a cover page to... page 11.
You mean that you're in the backup material?
Yeah.
No, you don't have page 10. All I did was take out, this report is about that thick. I took those areas out of this pertaining to amateur radio.
Mr. Chairman.
And the communications.
I would move and ask for unanimous consent. The bill pass the committee unanimously. Bill go out of committee. That what I need to say properly is put on the record.
What you would like to say is that you would move HCR-1, moved out of committee with individual recommendations.
Okay.
SCR-1.
Thank you. I do.
Any objection? SCR-1 is moved out of committee with individual recommendations. Is there anybody else that had anything to say on this bill?
I can see why it's not you, though.
Well, we'll see. Very like persuasive. We'll see if this office is even open anymore. It may be gone. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other than a comment that they certainly work in the Anchorage area under the earthquake.
The next items before the committee will be HCR 13, 14, and 15. HCR 13 and 15 commend the sponsors and participants in the 25th Annual Boys State to be held this summer at Camp Carroll, Fort Richmond. HCR 14 by Representative Sherry Davis offers the same recommendations from the 23rd Annual Girls State to be held June 9th through the 16th, University of Alaska Fairbanks. Representative Davis. Jeff.
Good morning, I'm Jeff Bullock, staff for Sherry Davis, who's upstairs at a Southeast Caucus meeting. Just very briefly, this is the same resolution that was put in previously. Representative Covina put it in last year, and Sherry Davis was asked to put in this year, and Representative Covina gave his agreement to it. In the letter that's in the backup from Rep. Davis to the committee, it is basically what states in a letter we received from American Legion Auxiliary, and it's one that Sherry has followed closely and is very happy with.
Questions from the committee?
No question, just a comment. I'm real familiar with the program. Senator Berenkamp and I work for her. Participated all the time. And sure do.
Very like a ball.
Representative Lehman, would you like to join us?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a copy of the bills.
Magically, they've appeared.
Where is Representative Lehmansville?
Well, it's in line. If you look through them one at a time, maybe you'll find them. Representative Lehman.
Thank you. I'm Lauren Lehman. I represent District 9, West Hampton State House. I sponsored HCR 15, which is identical to HCR 13. I was a participant in the, I thought it was the second annual Boys State, but if this is the 25th, indeed, it was the first. It was at Copper Valley High School, in Copper Center, an outstanding program. I thought back in participants in it, the support from the legislature. We had then House Representative Ted Stevens, and former Speaker of the House, Mike Gravel, assisting, and Mayor of Anchorage, Elmer Rasmussen. And I was so impressed with the program. What impresses me so much about it is that it's voluntary. About all that comes from the state, be like publications and just that type of moral support. But the American Legion has done an outstanding job of interesting young people of the state in state government. It's actual hands-on experience where they do what we do in experiment. The resolution is identical, as I said, to HCR 13. I spoke about it on the floor of the House, and I think all of you probably were there here. I don't want to go through that again. I just request that you move HCR 15. Deference, it was introduced first before 13, even though it has a higher number. I appreciate Mr. Chairman giving me the opportunity to testify.
You're welcome, Representative Lehman. Would you like to stay with us through this debate? Any comments from the committee? Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, are we going to hear from the sponsor of HCR 13?
HCR 13 is an identical bill to HCR 15. It's also an identical bill to set the date, such one that was introduced last year. We got to understand the reasoning behind the resolution. They're something that is done every year, and it's been done for a number of years. I don't know actually how far back, whether it's been from the first one. Representative Moyer?
Would you like to, are you trying to move the girls and the boys at the same time?
No, I think they should have made the same motion.
Okay. I would move that we move HCR 13 from committee. Individual recommendations, ask unanimous consent.
Any objections to moving HCR 13? Representative Shilkat?
Object.
There's an objection to move. All in favor of moving HCR 13 from the committee, raise your right hand. All opposed? The bill is moved from committee with individual recommendations. I'll accept a motion on HCR 14. Representative Moyer?
I would move that we move HCR 14 from the committee. Individual recommendations, ask unanimous consent.
HCR 14, there is a motion. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, HCR 14 has moved from committee. Representative Shilkat.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask to move HCR 15 out of committee with individual recommendations. I ask unanimous consent.
I object. HCR, that motion is out of order. There is a bill identical to HCR 15 already moved. That motion is out of order.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Baker.
It's my understanding, though, that HCR 15, according to the clerk of the House, was actually introduced prior to HCR 13. I believe the uniform rules speak that up. Is that not correct?
I will say that HCR 13 and HCR 14 have been moved from this committee, HCR 15.
No, that wasn't my question.
And if you have a question on the numbering of the bill, I suggest that be taken up with somebody who has the ability to deal with numbering of the bills.
That wasn't my question. Does not the uniform rule speak to the numbering of the bills?
The uniform rules, I'd have to do a little research, Representative Baker, to see exactly what they're getting at.
Because I think that perhaps that this committee might be violating uniform rules if we adopt a bill with a higher number when in actuality that's not the way that it happened.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Greenberg.
There's nothing to prevent us from passing out any bill.
No, but I think, Mr. Chairman, to respond that that the clerk erred in her numbering of the bill. Is that not correct?
No.
The clerk did not err?
No.
Oh, so that 15 was actually introduced before 13?
They were introduced on the same day. They were introduced when they were read across. They're not introduced when they're
Representative Baker, I believe this is a discussion that is not relevant to this committee. And I believe that's a discussion that, if you wish to pursue, should be taken up with other people, not at this committee.
Yeah, I just don't want us to violate the law. We are.
Representative Grunberg.
We're not.
We're in violation of the ethics of this chamber, and that really disturbs me. I mean, I just don't want to do anything that's...
First of all, we're not in violation of the uniform rules, and secondly, there's no... If you find me anything in the Legislative Ethics Act or anything that we're in violation of, I'd be delighted to be educated on something, but I'm not aware of it.
I'd like to postpone this then until we could do the research and speak to it, if that'd be possible.
Representative Beckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We voted on it. The committee was introduced, and we voted on these bills, and I would think that it should go forward as the committee decided.
Representative Choquette.
Mr. Chairman, there's sufficient question as to the history of this bill, in my mind. As Representative Baker stated, and this is a first for me, that I have a bill in front of me that I wholeheartedly support. And I have a strong reservation dealing with the questions that have arisen as to the sponsor of the original bill, which came first. And I agree with Representative Baker that this bill should not go out of, or be died in this committee without something to alleviate the concerns that I have. And that's a matter of record, guys. We know exactly what it is. And I do have some concerns, and my major concern is the integrity of this committee. I'm into listening to anybody that has anything to say on it, anything at all in terms of why a bill that apparently was first has got a higher number than a bill that was submitted at a later date. Obviously, you have two sides to a story such as this. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong.
Mr. Chairman, all we have is our integrity.
Representative Choquette, research.
Well, I guess so. He just butted right in.
Excuse me. I'm
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman, all we have is our integrity and our ethics. And you know, we know the history. Everybody on the table knows the history. And I think we just need to do... whether you honor the motion to postpone, I guess, it is a decision of the chair. But I think in response to Representative Grunberg, there's obviously adequate precedence in the way that the clerk assigns bill numbers. There's obviously adequate background as to the ethics of it. There's history. And I'd like to research it, Mr. Chairman. If the chair opts not to honor that request, there's very little. I mean, obviously, I can count, but then I think that we really have flown in the face of good, prudent ethics, and I think we've flown in the face of history, and distinguished history of this body, and maybe there is not a rule that says you have to do that. It seems to me that there is a reason, though, that the clerk of this body is bonded, And so I think if we're going to violate things, well, then I don't want to be a party to that, certainly. So, whatever the chair wishes to do.
Mr. Chairman, I object to this discussion. It's been voted on and passed out of committee, and I voted the way I did because of tradition of this body. And would ask the chairman to discontinue the conversation and go on with the business. I strongly object to the discussion. It's after the fact.
Well, there, there's a motion to postpone.
Where
Representative Shilkat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm an extension of you in this committee. I enjoy serving on this committee. I think we have one of the finest committees of all of them. Even when you're late, Max, I vote my conscience. And the thing that scares me about this bill is I don't want to hurt my relationship with you, Mr. Chairman, and with this committee. I come into this room Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with a very sincere obligation to do my job. It's that simple. And what I'm looking at now and in this discussion, I have to object that, yes, circumstances involving Representative Lehman's bill, involving his bill, are most assuredly a part of the decision-making process. And I strongly object to what's happening here. And whether or not you choose to concur with Representative David's objections, this situation is very important to me right now, and I need to go on record in saying that. And that's all I have to say, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion? Will you entertain the motion to postpone, Mr. Chairman?
I don't recognize a motion to postpone anything. I don't know what exactly you want to postpone.
To postpone action on HCR 15.
I think you motioned to reconsider instead of postpone that.
I object, Mr. Chairman. We passed it out of committee and voted on it.
Well, HCR 15 has not passed out of committee. HCR 13 and 14
have passed. We're talking about HCR 15, though. That's correct.
Okay,
sure.
If you're holding
it
to 15.
Well, I signed do pass on 14. And I signed no on.
May we have a brief at ease, Mr. Chairman?
Standing at ease. Obviously, we have a little bit of a controversy here on HDR 13 and HDR 15. A little bit of politics, as some may say, usual. Not sure you may have... do not pass on the wrong motions here, on the wrong bills. I would assume this isn't the one you're
14?
You're objecting to.
No,
the girls.
It's 13.
You signed the wrong ones.
Do we need to give that back?
No, just leave those over there, please. In essence, what we have here is what I consider a double steal of a bill, if we can use those terms. Obviously, some people on this committee object to the passing out of HDR 13. I would recommend and entertain a motion at this time to reconsider HDR 13. Representative Boyer.
Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that we consider our action on HDR 13.
Time certain.
No.
There is a motion to reconsider. Is there an objection? Representative Boyer.
I move, Mr. Chairman, that we hold HDR 13 until the time certain,
which would be Wednesday's committee, and also 15.
Yes. Well, that's your end.
Is there any objection to holding HDR 13 and 15 until Wednesday's meeting? Is there no objection? They are held open until Wednesday.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Baker.
I'd like to thank you for that action. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I'd like to very much second that.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman, may I say one thing?
Representative Greenberg.
I want the people around the table to know that this is a situation that there's nothing that's right or wrong. We're trying to do the best we can to resolve a problem as best we can. And, I appreciate what the chairman has done.
I do too, members.
Thank you. Thank you, Mother.
Thank you, Representative Lehman.
Thanks for letting me speak on the bill.
You're welcome.
We had to, Lord.
I'll now take up HCR 11. HCR 11, establishing Alaska Women's Task Force. Oh, move on. James, we're on. HCR 11 is establishing Alaska Women's Task Force. I'm also going to take up, at least put on the table at this time, House Bill 170, establishing the Alaska Women's Commission under the legislature. HCR 11 proposes to establish the Alaska Women's Task Force to advise the legislature on how to improve the status of women in the state. HB 170 is an act establishing the Alaska Women's Commission in the legislative branch and abolishing the Alaska Women's Commission in the Office of the Governor. It's my intent this morning to hear testimony on this legislation and work toward moving HCR 11 out of committee. We have a number of people on teleconference to testify and request that the witnesses keep their comments brief so that the committee can hear from as many people as possible during the time remaining. I'd like to invite Representative Kopanen at the table and give us an overview on HCR 11 and HB 140. Representative Kopanen.
Thank you. I'm Representative Neil Kopanen from District 21. I'm the prime sponsor of both the Concurrent Resolution 11 and the House Bill 170. Both of them speak to the Alaska Women's Commission, which was formed to conduct studies and make recommendations to the federal legislature regarding the role and status of Alaskan women. The commission has fulfilled its mandate, effectively and efficiently concentrating legislation, employment, civil and legal rights, and issues relating to the family. Contrary to popular perception, so-called women's issues are a critical concern to all Alaskans. They include health care, daycare, equal treatment, employment, opportunity, and personal freedom. Now, the Women's Commission members were abruptly terminated, and after, and a new commission selected of people who were not familiar with the continuing issues. In 1990, the commission had sponsored or co-sponsored diverse workshops, including one on rural women's substance abuse, which attracted 91 participants, a workshop on middle age and older women's evolving needs was attended by some 155 women. Many of these projects continue. The principal difference between the two is that the House bill essentially abolishes the Women's Commission, the governor's office, and transfers it to the legislature as an advisory body to the legislature. The concurrent resolution does not do that. It establishes a women's task force, which lasts until January 1993, or until the next legislature. In drawing up the financial report, the fiscal note, we found it's actually cheaper to operate the task force than the governor's commission. The meetings in Anchorage are cheaper because of the location. Research and analysis would be done by the legislative research, so therefore there are two less staff members for the Women's Commission. The printing of the reports, of course, has become a legislative function, and the staff would be paid on the legislative pay scale, which, as you, I'm sure, are individually acutely aware, is not as generous as that for the executive body. So we can, even though this says there are two meetings, that means two meetings per year. Actually, there could be five to six total, depending where the meetings are held during that period. Also, miscellaneous office and computer costs would be cheaper in Juneau than in Anchorage, and also would be still cheaper if the legislature, as I understand, the Children's Caucus, is going to be proposing a children's task force if the two of them operate concurrently and use the same equipment and office space. I'd like to point out in the second section all of the projects that are being currently worked on, which, as I understand, have been dropped by the new commission. The teen pregnancy report is in layout stage and should be printed. The RSA for child support, research on the child support enforcement division, a leadership and sobriety conference to be held in Bethel, and a women's business conference, women's Hall of Fame reception, a booklet for AFDC recipients on how to advocate for themselves. First draft of that is written and will be printed in May. Booklet for parents on how to advocate for their children in the school system. Meetings with AFDC recipients to support self-sufficiency and self-reliance, and including a mentoring workshop. Workshop on financial survival for single mothers, which I think is very much needed. Booklet on adult children of alcoholic parent recovery issues for rural women. And you see the whole proposed activities here. I think that these activities that are currently underway should be completed in a report made through the next legislature on the proposed continuation or implementation or legal changes that are needed, so that they do definitely need the completion of these projects for determination of public policy in these important areas. And I will reiterate again, in line with the drive towards fiscal efficiency, it does appear that we can do it more cheaply than the governor can. Thank you.
Questions of the committee, Representative Copeland. Representative, might you just slide around or something? We have a number of people that want to testify. I'd like to take two people that are here in the room with us first. Marsha McKenzie.
If I could just make a...
Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not a comment. I just wanted to express my gratitude to Representative Copeland for coming up with a couple of innovative ways to carry on the functions of the Women's Commission. I'm glad to be a co-sponsor of both of them.
Ms. McKenzie?
Chairman Kabina, members of the committee. My name is Marsha McKenzie. I'm with the American Association of University Women, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to testify before you this morning. I personally am, I guess, a little bit traditional and a little non-traditional in my lifestyle. I have a very traditional marriage of 16 and a half happy years, and yet, non-traditionally, no children by choice. This is not what I, as a young woman growing up in the 50s and 60s, had expected. Gee, I would go to school, I would get out of college, and I would get married, and I would have kids, and of course, I would stay home, and I would raise the kids in a very traditional manner. Lo and behold, I found myself in Alaska, found myself married and no children, and very happily employed, feeling very fulfilled with my life and my lifestyle. So the question then becomes, in this particular political situation, what is tradition? This teleconference, which is sharing our opinions throughout the state, is non-traditional. But I think all of us would agree that that's progress. So we're coming into a situation where things in our world do change. There is a perception, and as I understand it, this is the reason for some of the political actions which have taken place, that the current, or I should say the previous Alaska Women's Commission, did not represent the views of traditional family values. But I would ask, how many traditional families are there now, not only in Alaska, but in our country? Not by choice are there a lot of double-income families, but by necessity. Not by choice, sometimes, are there single-parent head of households. And yet, we need to realize that all viewpoints and all viewpoints in our society must be respected, diverse opinions. I think that it's very hard for me. I was president of the Alaska of the American Association of University Women from 1986 to 1988, just at the time when there was a lot of controversy as to whether or not the Alaska Women's Commission should in fact be continued. And I think most of the committee members here are very familiar with what happened. We had an interim commission before the commission was in fact reinstated. So it is not easy for me to come here and say that I would support the task force, which in essence will supplant the Alaska Women's Commission. But I am doing this because of the current political situation. It appears now that there may be a perception that this commission, as appointed by the governor, does not in fact represent all ends of the spectrum in our political society. And I think that what becomes significant is that not only is there this perception that perhaps more liberal views being on either side of the liberal conservative spectrum, that what is a concern is perhaps that the administration is not even necessarily representative of the majority of our citizens in this state, insofar as it was elected with less than 40% of the vote. Therefore, to have a less than majority administration being able to select the members of the commission, I think that this is a real concern that we need to think about. I know personally that the Women's Commission, prior to the recent dismissal and appointment of members, did in fact attempt to represent all views. Again, politics is a lot of it is perception, so that's what we need to deal with. But I would urge the committee to support HCR 11 and establish the task force precisely because this would be a legislative task force. Right here in this room, there is some diversity of opinion. And that's what we need. We need to have all viewpoints represented so that the interests of all Alaskan women, who in fact will then represent the interests of all Alaskan citizens, may be represented. AAUW encourages diversity not only in its membership, but in opinions. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Questions from the committee? Representative Choquette.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have three questions for anybody. Nato, maybe you could answer. How many commissions currently are under the legislator?
Actually, it depends how you define a commission. We tend to organize interim committees, for instance, the Children's Task Force. Prior to the organization, the Governor's Interim Commission, the Governor's Commission on Youth. They tend to be short duration. There have been about six or so during the time I've been in the legislature, but they tend to last for 2 or 3 years and either complete their task and phase out or be taken in under the Governor's office.
Representative Shilkat.
Thank you. So, Representative Copeland, you have a fiscal note on page 3 of the first section. Of $164,000.
Can I interrupt just
sure.
Just a quick moment, Representative? Sure. Does anybody have any questions from that? McKenzie. Maybe we can do that and not
I'll
ever.
Just, fine, I'm sorry.
Do you have a question for her?
I have one question. Has the governor changed any of the commissioners on his commission?
Excuse me, the commissioners?
Yeah, any of the women, the commissioners on the women's.
Changed them all.
He's changed them all.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He's zeroed them out. He has not appointed anybody else.
No, they have been reappointed.
Yes.
And new people have been reappointed to that commission. And in fact, the head of the newly appointed chair of the commission has already resigned.
Okay. I'm familiar with that. I guess,
Representative
Chairman, my question is if that's the case. I find it hard to determine whether or not the governor is in favor of this bill or against.
Representative Bruckman.
Oh, I just wanted to comment about the speaker's speech, how wonderful it was.
Is there any other questions of Ms. McKenzie? Representative Broomberg.
I'd like to echo that. I'm very impressed with your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, now let's go ahead and have a little discussion, and then we'll come back to... Ms. Gall, who I believe will give us some good insight here.
On your question, you'll notice the fiscal note contains $154,000 for fiscal year 92 and only $82,000 for fiscal year 93. That's the phase out, nothing in subsequent years. So essentially, you know, we would have to decide, the legislature at that time would have to decide. And perhaps negotiate with the governor on a continuation of the commission. And essentially, the commission, new members who were appointed, voted to discontinue all of these activities. So that everything was zeroed out with the ongoing reports that we've been anticipating, the meetings that have been scheduled and the like. So, therefore, what we're doing is trying to at least carry it on sufficiently, either to phase out or to come to a rational decision.
Could you repeat that? The new commission?
Hit your switch when you talk, Betty.
Representative Copeland, would you repeat that statement? I think you said the new commission.
Well, we've been told that the new commission, the report that we got, is that the new commission has decided to drop all of the activities, including the materials that are in ready to print, you might say, on sobriety, on financial survival for single mothers, and like all of these have been dropped. They have also fired the commission chair and the staff, so there's a total lack of continuity, or there's a total lack of follow-through, and quite apart from the children and from the Women's Commission itself, I have felt through the years, even before I got in the legislature, that we had this lack of follow-through, this lack of completion of the things we set up, is one of the main reasons for the lagging state of the economy and the social order in Alaska. That we sometimes have to learn to complete what we start off to do.
Representative Shelfett.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One final question. Representative Copeland. There's over 150 commissions right now in Governor, 167. Have you researched any possible way by which we could combine the goals of this commission? Most of us here had a campaign to reduce the budget. Representative Baker and myself have long considered that this could be a way we could do it by combining as many of these commissions as we can in terms of saving money. Obviously, the first on line 3, page 1 of the HCR 11, since that's a very true state need to know how to improve the status of women in Alaska. My question is, have we done any research in considering the possibility of placing this commission and the duties of this commission in another one, or combining two or three that can actively work on the same way? Thank you.
Sam Kopner.
As I mentioned in my opening statement, we're discussing with the Children's Caucus a similar bill for the Children's Commission, and attempt there would be to save funding by essentially combining the administration of the two, although the meetings might be quite different. One of the reasons, there are a number of reasons for the number of commissions we have. A lot of them are in the Department of Commerce, and they represent trades and industries, and people pay for their licenses, and over a five-year period, those license fees are supposed to be where they provide a form of legal self-government to those organizations in private enterprise, so that they can set the standards and write off the regulations themselves, rather than having those drawn up by state bureaucrats. In addition, the form of government that we have, that we developed at the time of statehood, gives all of the executive power to the governor. And there are really no channels for public participation in the government except for these these commissions, the advisory types of commissions that are set up on specific task-oriented ways. In other states, you may have the same sort of thing, to the point, the other extreme is Texas, where you have a number of powerful elected commissions that are topic-specific. You know, there's the Agricultural Commission, which controls water supply, irrigation, the like. The Railroad Commission, which, as you know, controls the pumping of oil and is in charge of manipulating the oil price, conserving the supply of oil on the market, and other things like that. So we've concentrated all of the power in the government, but the need for the public to participate in their area of concern, their area of expertise, and their area of economic activity remains. And unfortunately, it's the only really countervailing force. The governor is the government. We are merely representatives of the people, and we're not here all the time to represent all of them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank I'd like to get some of the people. We have a number signed up for teleconference. Could we go to Kodiak, please? Is Linda Freed available? Those of you on the teleconference line, when you take the mic, would you please state your name and address for the record? And we have a number of people in several different sites, so if you could keep your remarks somewhat brief and to the point. Linda Freed.
Mr. Chairman, this is the moderator. Sorry, Linda had to leave, but she did have some written testimony. I will fax now.
Thank you very much. Can we go to Fairbanks, please? We have three people. Would any one of the three please go ahead online and put your name and address for the record and your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Merrick Helfort. I live at P.O. Box 80769, College 99708. When I said I was going to the MIO to testify on a bill this morning, a man I know asked me if it was on ecology. I said, no, it was on women. He laughed and said, oh, what's that? I thought about that on the way down here, and I believe that there are some lessons here. This bill really is about ecology, human ecology, and the preservation of balance and the nurturing of the species. And second, the reaction by this man is precisely the reason why we need to pay special attention to the status of women in the society. There are many stereotypes by which human beings define their environment. The stereotype expressed somewhat unclearly by my friend this morning set women in a position which implies some ridicule, some hostility, and places them in a restricted category of behavior. These stereotypes limit our ability to nurture change. They limit women in their full participation in the society by making them less than equal. The status of women in America, and specifically in Alaska, has in fact improved in a number of ways. In economic standing and employment opportunity, in their standing in the councils of state, and their stature in the society. But the change has been very slow and very difficult because changing stereotypes is always hard. But even with the improvements that have been realized, women in this society are still not paid an equivalent salary to men for similar work. Women still suffer economic hardships as single mothers. Even when part of the vanishing fiction of the nuclear family, they are often expected not only to serve as housekeeper and primary child care, but also to assist in the family income by getting a job as well. Women pay the price for these stereotypes and this treatment. As in any stereotype, their acceptance, which people who are not willing to carefully examine the facts call upon to protect their view. But in the aggregate, women suffer from many social problems disproportionately. I believe the Alaska Women's Task Force must deal with some of the problems of women in this society because advocacy, information, and education are all required to correct the stereotypes, right the inequities, and repair the costly social ills which result from them. To ignore these problems is to express a neurotic avoidance of reality. To effectively urge the continuation of women in their unequal state is to reject humanity and choose a diminished role in society for both men and women. Further, to ignore the possible contributions to society by women and to accept the evils of that silence and unequal state is pathological. I urge the passage of House Concurrent Resolution 11 for the benefit of the entire society. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a reminder to those of you online, if you could keep your comments as brief as possible so we could get to everyone. And specifically, if you support or do not support the bill, and if you or if you have any specific changes. Could the next person there in Fairbanks please come on?
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Meg Gaydosik, and I'm speaking. Oh, I live at 1024 Fifth Avenue in Fairbanks, and I am speaking to you as a concerned citizen and as a recent former member of the Alaska Women's Commission. In his January budget address, Governor Hickel stated that he wanted to achieve a goal of cutting state government by 5% to 15%. One of the areas that would be cut was the Alaska Women's Commission. The governor recommended an 87% cut in funding, eliminating all staff positions. It is not clear to me what method the governor used to determine that this was one area of state government that could be cut. Certainly, the overwhelming evidence proves that the social, legal, and economic realities of women in this state have not changed substantially since 1978, when the commission was first created. I am employed as a manager in the private sector, and I can appreciate that wise control and the cost of doing business are necessary for the health of any organization, including state government. However, as in business, it is never good to eliminate those areas that provide you with information to make wise choices when making changes to promote future growth and prosperity. I believe the governor does not understand that the growth and prosperity of all Alaskan families cannot be achieved until we first resolve some of the problems that face Alaskan women. According to FBI statistics, Alaska's rape rate private businesses on clarifying rights and responsibilities in pregnancy leave. This is only one example of how far-reaching the distribution of the Commission's materials has been. I do not believe it is necessary to defend the work of the former Women's Commission. It speaks for itself. What I do find necessary is to defend the existence of such a research body inside state government. When the governor replaced every member of the commission in mid-February with political patronage appointees, it became very clear that the governor does not regard the work of this commission as an important part of his office. The wholesale replacement of the commissioners indicates an attempt to create a public body that is only reflective of the administration's viewpoint. I have always believed that boards and commissions were created to encourage debate from a wide variety of viewpoints. As terms of appointments are usually staggered, a representative mixture of opinion has always been ensured. I do not personally know any of the new appointees. However, if the interview and screening process involved with the recent appointment of Jack Allaman to the Human Rights Commission is indicative of the selection process, I am not sure that any of the new appointees to the Women's Commission have followed or expressed any interest in the issues that concern Alaskan women. Therefore, I believe it is in the best interest of all Alaskans to create an Alaska Women's Task Force that is outside the governor's immediate sphere of influence. Last week in Fairbanks, the National Organization for Women sponsored a legislative forum with the primary emphasis being on the status of the Women's Commission. This forum was pulled together and advertised primarily by word of mouth in 8 days. Over 70 men and women showed up to find out what they could do to prevent the governor from dismantling the Women's Commission. I believe this interest is indicative of the response you would find in all Alaskan communities once people get a clear idea of what is occurring. The closing, I will relate to you an incident I told to that gathering to give you a good idea of what the Women's Commission has become under Governor Hickel's direction. 10 days ago, the information officer for the current Women's Commission called me to say that she was resigning. She said, "Meg, last week we were working with welfare moms trying to get them the skills and education to get off of public assistance. This week we are addressing invitations to the governor's prayer breakfast. I simply can't work here any longer." End quote. While I personally have nothing against prayer breakfast, I don't believe this was the original intent for the Women's Commission. I believe that this will be the path the current Alaska Women's Commission will continue to follow. For the betterment of all Alaskan women, men, and children, I urge you to support HCR 11. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg. You had some points very well taken. I must say, though, that many people signed up to testify. If you have written statements to read from, I would appreciate it if you would give those to the LIO people. They will fax them to us. Our fax number is 465-2287. We will make them part of the official record, and I assure you we will distribute them so that the members of the committee know your position. So if we could, I'm going to have to limit some testimony. Try to stay 2 minutes would be great. But no more than three, please. Is there anyone else in Fairbanks? Mary Matthews?
Hi. I'm Mary Matthews, and I'm here both as a private citizen and as the executive director of Women in Crisis, Counseling and Assistance. My address is 3872 Frenchman Road, Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'm speaking in favor of HRC 11. I'd like to thank Neil for his leadership in proposing this and advocating for it. I've heard comments recently like we don't need this Women's Commission anymore. They've done their work and now it's not necessary. This is a special interest group. I don't agree with those comments. I think we still need this group, and I won't repeat a lot of the statistics. I think Meg's really covered those in terms of how socially, economically, and politically disadvantaged women still are in our society. And I just want to make the point that the commission does focus on women's issues, does benefit primarily women, but anytime we eliminate discrimination and bring a group of people into full participation in our society, we're benefiting everyone. I think the commission's work on the family leave bill really illustrates this point. This bill, you know, would provide parental leave for parents, both mothers and fathers, to care for newborn children or sick parents. And while women may be the main beneficiaries of this, it is really women, men, and children, and parents that benefit. This benefits the family, and when we benefit the family, we benefit all of us, and we benefit society. So without any more to do about this, I just want to add my support to HRC 11. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. I'd like to go to Petersburg next, Nancy Berg.
Thank you. My name is Nancy Berg. I'm the president-elect of BPW at Post Office Box of 787. The Alaska BPW is deeply concerned about the impact that the governor's actions will have on the Women's Commission. We believe that, you know, the 5 to 50 issues have to do with single-family households, daycare, and dual-income households. And we feel like the Women's Commission, we have always supported the Women's Commission and felt like they addressed those issues, and we're pulled the state together. Being in rural Alaska, it was important to us to have a central research and data information coming from the Women's Commission. I would just like to say that BPW supports HCR 11, and we thank Neil Kopanen for putting this information before the legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. I'd like to go to Bethel next, please. We have two people, Joan Hamilton and Larie Huggenen. Either one of you?
This is, can you hear me? This is Joan Hamilton.
Loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Okay. The other person is Larie Huggenen and Pauline Camera. I just want to quickly put in a word for support of HRC 11, but I also hope that you maintain the Women's Commission, because after this this agony can't last forever, so that in the future there might be a governor who sees the need for a central body of study for women. As a Native woman, I think we have gained some support from our own groups because of work done by the Alaska Women's Commission. We have gained a little sense of humanity, and there's a lot of work to be done, and it's through the Women's Commission that we've been able to get a sense of our humanity. And as far as mom, dad, and children household in this region, I'm originally from Chivac, and a single parent, a very young single parent woman, is the norm rather than exception. And I believe the Women's Commission is very strong advocate in trying to maintain some sort of services so that this type of a person can get out of the welfare rolls. And I think that'll be my testimony for now.
Thank you, ma'am. Larie?
Thank you. My name is Larie Huggenen. I'm at P.O. Box 1537, Bethel, Alaska. I would just like to add my voice of support to House Resolution 11. I think it's important to have a task force at the state level that addresses the status of Alaska women and families. I believe it's important to have the task force in the legislative branch of government. It will assist in getting equity on the commission. We're particularly concerned with Native and rural representation being there, and it will also protect the task force, its existence, from being at the whim of only one person. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's go to Anchorage. Ruth Lister, I believe we already have a statement, a letter from you. Ms. Lister?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment a little bit about how the Alaska Women's Commission operated from the last slightly over 2 years that I worked there. When I came into my job, the commission had started the process of creating a long-term plan, and they took testimony that they wrote to women's groups, received feedback from individuals from all over the state. They had analyzed the 1980 census to look at what the status of Alaska women was, and from this, they created a long-term plan. That process took somewhat over a year. We looked at a lot of testimony from a wide range of people and groups, and I think that this framework has been very valuable for the Women's Commission. Basically, we're looking at both survival and equity issues for women, and the Women's Commission decided that in both of those areas, there was a real need for work, so we started working on things like welfare reform, which in many ways turned into welfare rights. On teenage women who drop out of school, teen pregnancy, equity at divorce, the needs of rural women and older women, the ongoing problems of domestic violence. What I saw the Women's Commission doing was really working to be able to give women choices, whether they were working, whether they were a homemaker, whether they wanted to start a small business. Discrimination in multiple areas was preventing women from making choices in their lives and from having equality. I felt that we were doing a very good job in that area, and we had a
doing, and I strongly urge that HDR is passed so that that kind of work can be continued. The kind of research and education that the Women's Commission does is the basis for budget and legislation changes that the legislature needs to look at. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lister. Evelyn Tucker.
Good morning. My name is Evelyn Tucker. I strongly support HCR 11 and HCR 11. We need an HCR that will actively monitor public policy in all areas of life. Things like health care, insurance, child care, women's rights, legal protection for women and families. We need to be especially vigilant in areas where services are supported by public funds, areas like domestic violence, sexual assault, services provided by the Division of Family and Youth Services, mental health services, substance abuse services, education, and services for women on the FCC. We know that we're likely to face budget cuts in the future, but we need to be careful about where we cut the budget. There's nothing heroic about cutting a budget where the brunt of the budget cuts are in areas for women, children, and disadvantaged. We also need to be careful about how we go about economic development. If we're going to proceed with economic development that pulls labor in from out of state and that draws on existing services, we aren't doing anyone a favor. If we go for economic development where we think about what we're doing and we plan to train people, women and people in the state, to be part of the construction and be part of the development, then we're doing a service for the state in the long run. If we do that, we can be assured of a bright future for all of us, not just a privileged few. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Evelyn. Eileen Self. Is Eileen there in Anchorage?
No, Eileen has had to leave.
All right, thank you. Anchorage, you have several more, is that correct?
That's correct.
Why don't you just go ahead and have them go and state their name and address in whatever order.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jan Foster, for the record. My address is 9621 Spring Hill Drive, Anchorage 99507. Thank you for this opportunity to speak before you. It's a particular pleasure to speak before my own elected representatives, Bruckman and Choquette. Today I'm speaking on behalf of the 250 members of the Alaska Division of the American Association of University Women. Since the 70s, when a status of women commission was only an idea, AEW has been a strong supporter of the commission. Now we find ourselves unable to continue our support for the commission in its present form. AEW and the Commission have many goals in common. Research, education, and legislative advocacy are common objectives. Together, we have co-sponsored many forums to provide opportunities to explore the many roles of women and to provide opportunities for the education and advancement of women. We also cooperate in the establishment of laws, a vehicle for the dissemination of important information regarding pending legislation and the legislative process. In the light of the accomplishments of the Commission, it is with a heavy heart that I now have to testify in favor of a different vehicle to achieve these goals. The current budget proposed by the Governor includes only $30,000 to cover travel expenses for commissioners. There's no provision for staff funding, although the current director, Ms. Rawls, indicates an executive director and assistant will perform certain duties on a part-time basis and as volunteers if necessary. This might be admirable if it were not so appalling. But indeed, during the first week of this arrangement, one of the duties performed was to prepare a mailing for the governor's breakfast. It is not appropriate to sacrifice gains by the women of Alaska by reverting to social and economic patterns which belittle Alaska's women. It is an essential need of government to have an unbiased source to provide professional research and a database of information on issues of equity. The plight of Alaska's women is only marginally better than it was in the past. In 1980 in Alaska, women earned 58 cents while a man earned a dollar. Today, that figure is 62 cents. In 1980, women held 11 seats in the state legislature. Today, women hold 14. In 1986, the commission prepared 7 bills addressing needs of women. Today, 4 are still pending. In addition, I want you to know that the fastest growing segment of our population that lives below the poverty line are women and their children. Child sexual abuse discrimination on the basis of gender and race are the major causal factors for young women dropping out of school. Statistics indicate 43% of all homicides in Alaska are related to domestic violence, and the rape rate twice the national average. The need for an advocate for Alaska's women is still strong. The problems experienced by women are magnified, but support for vital human services is decreased by state government looking for ways to reduce its budget. I commend your foresight in realizing that although the status of women in Alaska has improved in some areas, there is a continuing need for an official group to make recommendations regarding the opportunities, needs, problems, and contributions of women in Alaska. I strongly urge you to establish the Alaska Women's Task Force with adequate funding to continue to improve the status of women in Alaska. AUW is in support of HCR 11. Thank you.
You want to say something, Betty? Quickly.
Jan, this is Betty Bruckman. It's a pleasure to hear your voice, and I wish you could be here because I'm going to see for yourself that I'm the only woman on this committee. Thank you. Yes,
thank you, Jan. I would like to say, please, it is the committee's intention to pass HCR 11 out of committee today. So I'd ask the people that are testifying to please, if you have something new to offer, let us know if you support or do not support the bill. And if you have something new to offer, would be relevant to us, to the bill, whether we want to change it or anything, or in its form, because we still have a number of people on a number of different sites. And if we don't get to them all, we'll have to hold this bill over to another day. So, more from Anchorage, please.
Yes, this is Jeff Richardson. I reside at 2237 Huffman Road. I'm here to express my strong support for HCR 11, and I will keep it quite short. With the abrupt dismissal of Women's Commission members and subsequent abrupt and probably illegal dismissal of staff members, the potential for the existing Women's Commission to be subsumed by a so-called Family Commission seems foregone. These developments fail to recognize the many circumstances outside of traditional family context in which women daily face discrimination and bias. The social and economic realities of sexism in particular, and the times we live in generally, demand that we maintain a high level of capability to track trends, conduct research, and recommend public policy to help women achieve true equity and realize their full potential for leadership, self-defined success, creativity, and happiness. Given the socially debilitating intentions of the current administration, I believe HCR 11 is the only sensible vehicle to accomplish these ends at this time. I firmly believe that improving the social, political, and economic status of women benefits all of us and will bring us closer to the hope of a world that is safe, secure, and nurturing for everyone. HCR 11 is one right step in this direction. I appreciate your support for it, and I want to add the thought that my hope is that it will be adequately funded. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, this is Kathleen Harrington in Anchorage, and I will keep it brief as well. I served on the Alaska Women's Commission for this past year after having been very interested in the work of the commission for years. I know that Representative Ruffin has had involvement with the commission, and I'm very pleased today to be able to testify for this committee.
Kathleen,
one of the things that I wanted
Harrington.
To say, I don't think has been expressed, and that is that this commission provides a very, very fine and singular statewide network for women's issues, which really reaches across previously respected boundaries of age, class, and race for women. It is a model of the kinds of connections that Alaska needs. I also wanted to state for the record as well that Representative Baker is on the committee and from my district. He is a neighbor of mine, that's been for years. Representative Choquette, I believe, is also there. His nephew is working on a science project for my son. I have four children and actually drove to this by hurrying in a Volvo station wagon. I make the point because I think that we need to understand that the Women's Commission does represent and does seek to address needs of women just across the board. And I think that the kind of work, advocacy, research, and education that I have seen done is of the highest quality. Therefore, I urge your support for us, the current Resolution 11. Thank you very much.
Rep. Sam Baker.
Kathleen, I just wanted to say good morning, and I already received a message as to what you might be saying today through a circuitous means.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kathleen, I think that you're being too modest about your own accomplishments, and I was mentioning while you were testifying to the other members of the committee who you were. And I think for the record, we ought to state that this is Kathleen Harrington, who's a former probate master for the Superior Court and was an outstanding jurist, and hopefully will be one again at some point. And I think we should also point out that Governor Hickel's newest appointment to the Superior Court is a very fine district court judge, Elaine Andrews. And the women's contributions to the judiciary in this state are extremely important, and you're a fine example of that, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Do you have anyone else there to testify in Anchorage?
Yes, this is Glenn Straube.
Go ahead, Glenn.
I'm going to spare you and not read the bulk of my testimony. I would like to say I support HCR number 11. I would like to say that Governor Hickel has made it quite clear he does not consider me or my family or that of 93% of the rest of the population to be worthy of attention because we are not considered to be traditional. I'd also like to say that the rape, violence, and discrimination that women face not only affect our own lives, but affect our families, our children, our workplace, and our society as a whole. If we cannot depend on the legislature to protect our rights and understand what we face, who can we turn to as policymakers? In the 1800s, women were told that the vote for women would destroy the family. It seems that the argument they never tire of using the same argument. The vote didn't destroy the family then, and having a women's task force surely won't destroy the family now. Thank you. Please support HR 11.
Thank you, Glenda. Anyone else in Anchorage?
That's the last
testifier here. Thank you. I'd like to go to Valdez, please. Evie Smith.
This is Evie Smith.
Hi,
Hello.
Valdez, you're cutting out. We can't pick you up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Evie, if you give us your box number.
Let's start with box 524, and I'll be very brief. I'm speaking as the executive director of ABB and as a concerned private citizen. With the recent political climate, I've been really concerned with the narrow views that have been coming across, especially concerning the rights of women and children in Alaska. And it seems a contradiction of sort, as I find that most Alaskans pride themselves on being somewhat non-traditional, and yet we're talking about not supporting the traditional roles of families in Alaska. And I find that most of the work that the Alaska Women's Commission has done has been in support of helping the family in Alaska. But also I found that in Alaska, with the lack of resources and the wide distances, that it has provided a great resource for those of us who need to have some resources to work with. And it has also provided many, many opportunities for women to help better their lives. And in support, I would like to say that I would also like to support HRC 11, especially with adequate funding so it can continue the work of the Alaska Women's Commission, because I feel that the work is too important to be disbanded. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Evie. Kim Good?
Hello, my name is Kim Good. My mailing address for the record is Post Office Box 2176 in Valdez. I'm speaking today from several different corners. I am president of the board of directors for Advocates for Victims of Violence in Valdez. I'm an elementary school teacher, and recently I have become a single mother, so I want to urge support for this bill. Thank you very much.
You're also a very good friend, and I hope you have a nice Easter break down below. Jan Michelle.
Thank you, Representative Cadena. My box number is 1461. I'm particularly concerned about the poverty and discrimination against women who experience disabilities. These women really need to be heard, and I would support HCR 11 because they could be heard on this commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Thank all of you. Anybody else there in Valdez?
Yes, one more, sir. My name is Mary Williams. For the record, my address is Post Office Box 3504 in Valdez. I am a non-traditional single Alaskan woman and have been for many years. I also happen to be over 50 years of age. I attended the Older Women's Conference this fall in Anchorage, and I work in a women's program. I see and I know the need for this task force. I support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Valdez. I believe you'll see a representative moving this bill swiftly out of committee. I'd like to now go, Representative Choquette.
Mr. Chairman, the people from Valdez have testified. I surely appreciate hearing from a smaller area. And even though, Mr. Chairman, this is your district, I want to know that I appreciate the comments from Valdez. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Choquette. I'd like to go on to Ketchikan, please. Ketchikan, would you just go ahead, whoever's ready.
My name is Linda Ingalls. I am the daycare administrator for the daycare assistance program contracted through the Ketchikan Gateway Borough. I'm speaking on behalf of all of the parents and children in the 32 communities throughout Alaska that are on the daycare assistance program and transitional daycare. There are over 900 parents on the wait list at the present time throughout this state. Most of these are entry-level positions, and if they are not given additional funding in these areas, they will probably be on ASDC. Ketchikan has 64 single parents on the program right now. Money's left until April. If additional funding is not received, these parents will undoubtedly be receiving ASDC, and it will affect the economic development in Ketchikan. I am for resolution number 11, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Could we have an address, please, for the record?
East 44 Front Street, Ketchikan Gateway Borough, Linda
Ingalls. That was Front Street. What was the numbers on there?
4.
I'm sorry, you're coming in broken up. Would you try to once more?
344.
We got it.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say good morning to Linda. I've known her for many, many years when she used to live in Anchorage, 25 years ago.
Very good letter of reference there. Anyone
Thank
else
you
in
Ketchikan? I didn't realize it was you.
Anyone else from Ketchikan?
Yes, my name is Gay Hooker, that's 6813 Ketchikan. I am a single parent raising 5 children myself, and I would just like to say that I totally support HCR 11. The Women's Commission has some issues that deal with me. To name a few, health care, welfare, housing, daycare, pay equity, child support, custody. All of these issues have affected me and my 5 children in the past 4 years since I became a single parent. I would just like to say that I am totally in support of HCR 11. Thank you.
Thank you, Gay. Anyone else in Ketchikan?
My name is Jane Henry, and my mother is Chelsea Dunn. I have been a resident of Alaska for nearly 18 years. During this time, I have been single, married with children, a homemaker, married with children working outside the home, and a single mother of 3 at present. The Women's Commission, as originally conceived, has represented issues of concern to me throughout. I want to go to urge you to support HCR 11 to carry on the outstanding research, education, support, and publications the Women's Commission has given to the women of Alaska. The recent changes made in the Women's Commission will dilute and transform it, therefore rendering it ineffective, not serving the broad spectrum of Alaskan women. The task force will preserve the integrity of the Women's Commission in dealing with issues that specifically affect women. Critics of the Commission have stated the Commission has addressed only the concerns of the liberal feminists. However, the long-range plan of the Women's Commission is survival and equity issues. As you know, these issues affect women, regardless of age, race, religious belief, or political affiliations or marital status. In 1984, I was project director for the Displaced Homemaker Program. Many of these women were in crisis. The Women's Commission provided valuable information through their publication and aided these women in achieving their goals of personal and economic independence. Those who opposed this task force claim to be promoting the family. The task force in place will be supporting the personal, social, and economic independence of the women who are raising the families. Recently, the women of the UN felt that they had little to celebrate on Women's Day. So you can see the concerns and problems we're facing are not just on a community, state, or national level. They are a global concern. In closing, I once again urge your support of this task force by addressing the specific needs of Alaska's female
Henry, did you give us an address, Miss Henry?
Yes, 1038 Benton,
Ketchikan. Thank you. Is there anyone else in Ketchikan? Wasilla, Katie Hurley, you were down for possibly. Katie, do you want to add anything to what's already been testified to?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to speak in support of HCR number 11. I am presently the legislative chair of Alaska Women's Political Caucus, representing several hundred women and men of the state. And there is a real need for the legislature to have information regarding the status of women in Alaska for making your decisions relating to funding and for any legislative changes that concern women and families. This task force will fill this void that the budget cuts leave. I also, for those who do not know me, wish to say I am a former legislator, a former executive director of the Alaska Commission on the Status of Women for 3 years. 7 years I was president of the State Board of Education. I'm the mother of three grown children, a son and two daughters, the former chair of the State Human Rights Commission, presently a board member of Kids Are People in the Valley. And I'd like to echo the wonderful testimony that many people from across the state have made regarding the good work of the commission. I think something that the legislature and the commission can take pride in having supported the passage of many Title IX several years ago, which makes it possible for our women in Alaska to make the headlines that they are making because it prohibits discrimination in education in our state. I thank you very much for this opportunity and good luck.
Is this a real question to ask her? Or you just want to
Katie, this is Betty Gruffman. It's a pleasure to hear your voice again. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, Katie, very much for your testimony. And obviously, your opinions are always welcome here. I'd like to take Sherry Gold next. Sherry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Sherry Gold. I'm representing the Alaska Women's Lobby. Since you would like to move this bill, I will be very brief. The Alaska Women's Lobby is very much in support of this legislation. We are very grateful to the sponsor for having introduced a way for the legislature to make a positive commitment to women again after what has apparently been the administration's dismissal the needs of women. I did bring with me some documents that were published by the Women's Commission that are in use right now, the Women's Legal Rights Handbook, Young Women of Alaska Speak Out About Dropping Out, Leadership and Sobriety. These are the kinds of things that we really want to see be able to be continued. As preparations were being made for this hearing, we found that it was getting to be very difficult to get any of the past publications from the Commission. They were actually reluctant to send them up here for your use. And so we're, of course, very concerned about the direction that the existing Women's Commission at the executive level will be taking. And we very much think that HCR 11 is a way for us to continue forward with positive goals for women. Thank you.
Skull, it's correct, and you think that House Bill 170 should not be passed, that bill.
The Women's Lobby supports the resolution before the bill, and for one thing, it's very difficult for those of us who supported the creation of an executive-level Women's Commission to be involved in abolishing that statute that we worked so hard over very many years to establish. And since the governor has shown that he has no interest in continuing the Women's Commission by cutting them out of the budget and then by replacing all the members with people who oppose the Women's Commission and asking them to meet jointly and form some other sort of a commission. We feel that